Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Tina, want to get lunch?
Thanks, but there's hornets outside.
Upwork. Hire freelancers. Make things happen.
It's happening. Wherever cupcakes are being frosted, songs are being recorded, and engines are being tuned, ADP is designing a better way to work. With industry-leading HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll, more companies rely on ADP than any other HR partner. From small business to global enterprise, see how ADP can help you and your people achieve what you're working for at design.adp.com. ADP, always designing for people.
Homeowners, are you a Georgia Power customer looking for the best in smart home technology? You can now sign up for an award-winning smart home security system from Vivint, a Georgia Power preferred provider that lets you control your smart home devices right from your smartphone. From smart locks and lights to an automated smart thermostat, Vivint has solutions you need to protect your home and help manage your energy use. Go to georgiapower.com/radio for free installation. That's georgiapower.com/radio. Packages starting at $39.99 per month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. See georgiapower.com/radio. For license numbers.
His drive, score!
Our Atlanta United are into their third season.
And you can catch every game here. Our Atlanta United, play here.
WZGC Atlanta and WZGC HD1.
On radio.com sports station.
Atlanta Sports Radio, 92.9, the game.
The College Football Notebook is brought to you by Dos Equis, official beer sponsor of the College Football Playoff.
All right, college football underway already this week, and some really big games. It's going to be a great week of college football and really interesting big games. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh and Harry Douglas. In for Hughes, taking a couple of days off. College football tonight, you got Syracuse and NC State. You got Miami's playing tomorrow night on Friday night. There's going to be a lot of Friday night games. But some really big games, some really interesting games ahead for us. Can Texas A&M give Alabama a game? And remember, there is a stat here, Harry Douglas. Nick Saban is 17-0 all time against his former assistant coaches. And, of course, Jimbo Elliott, a former assistant. Jimbo Elliott. Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M.
Stop making me laugh.
Yeah,
right
sorry
now.
About that. Can A&M, punch him in the mouth at all, or they're at home at Kyle Field?
No, I don't think so. This and it's because Kellen Mond, he has really struggled this year. I watched the game against Arkansas. Was it last week or the week before last?
Mm-hmm.
And he really struggled, and the team in general really struggled against Arkansas. Arkansas really should have won that football game, and they had a backup quarterback plan. So that's to tell you right then and there. But Jimbo, they better get it together because he's making entirely too much money not to be producing better than what he is right now.
Yeah, at Texas A&M. I still think he's going to have a pretty good run down there. I think he's a really good coach. And so, you know, we'll see. He's got to get, improvements in certain spots on his team. A&M's a historical underachiever. So it'll be interesting to see if give him 5 years. Let's see what happens.
But I'll tell you this. Anybody who plays in the West, the SEC West, if you're not Auburn, if you're not Alabama, you're not LSU,
mm-hmm.
you're basically at a disadvantage playing in the SEC West because you have those three schools that you have to play against
right.
who are going to be contenders to make the SEC championship.
Yeah, but we've seen it before. We did see with Mississippi State and Dan Mullen, and they went to number one. You know, I mean, it can be done.
Yeah.
You know, Arkansas went to number one year, remember? Probably 10 years ago with, that team that had, Felix Jones and all those weapons that they had.
McFadden, yep.
Right. So Arkansas went to number one out of the West. They did it once. Mississippi State went to number one with Dak. They did it once, so it can be done.
But I'm saying when you look at, okay, now you have an LSU, which I think the last 10 to 12 years, if they would have had a quarterback,
mm-hmm.
would have actually the national championships that Alabama played in and won, those would have been LSUs if they actually had a quarterback.
Yeah, maybe one of them, sure, yeah.
So I'm saying with LSU doing what they're doing right now, They finally have a quarterback. I think in the future they're going to be able to bring guys in to play quarterback for this team and be able to get them over the hump. You have Alabama. They're not going to fall off.
Right. No, they're not going to fall off. And that may be this year, by the way.
Yeah.
With Joe Burrow.
And then you have Auburn with Bo Nix. Yeah, he struggled against Florida, but Bo Nix is going to be there for 3 more years after this year. So he's only going to get better, and he's going to learn. He has a follower with a football background pedigree that played at Auburn also, Patrick Nix. So you have all these things, all these teams in the West. I just don't see Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M climbing that ladder. I don't see it.
You mentioned them, LSU at home, a night game, biggest game of the week, LSU hosting Florida. Florida coming off that impressive performance against Auburn. How do you like this game?
I think it's going to be lopsided. LSU, they're way better on offense. Florida, I don't think they have enough offensive firepower. And when I say that, I mean from the quarterback position. When their backup quarterback came in, I actually thought Florida moved the ball up.
Oh, I think they're better with Trask.
Because not him, not even Trask, the other little kid.
Oh, Emory Jones.
Because now you have to account for the run from a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't actually pass the football bad at all. But with Trask, he doesn't have that running ability. So the LSU defense is going to key more on him and be able to pin the ears back.
Talking about some of the big college football games. Now, this week is one of those weeks. It's always a big week because it's Oklahoma, Texas, and it's USC-Notre Dame. Now, normally, USC-Notre Dame would be a marquee game, but USC struggles under Clay Helton have relegated that classic rivalry to kind of, oh, yeah, that's right, that's this weekend status. but SC and Notre Dame, always a fun game to watch because of the history of the game.
The history is unbelievable.
Yeah, Anthony Davis game where they came from so far behind and he returned the second half kickoff.
But for SC, I have USC as having one of the best receiving cores in the college football today. With Pittman Jr., you have Vons, and you have St. Brown. Now, the thing is for them is the quarterback situation.
Right, they're down to like their eighth quarterback.
Is Slovis going to play? Probably not. Is Fink going to play?
Probably.
But, you know what I mean? But they can't get over it. I watched the game against Washington, and I'm like, okay, I'm looking at Washington. They had Jordan Miller go to the NFL with the Falcons. They had Byron Murphy with the Arizona Cardinals. Okay, I said, is this going to be hell for Washington in their secondary going up against these receivers?
Mm-hmm.
No, not at all. Because you want to know why? Fink turned the ball over. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a good game. He couldn't get the ball to his playmakers.
Right.
So if you don't have a quarterback to get the ball to his playmakers.
Quarterback. It's going to be rough for him. I mean, they lost JT Daniels, and their season went down the toilet. I mean, Slovis couldn't play, and they're back up, and now you're down to your third-string quarterback who was, he's okay. That's all he is okay.
But this game against Notre Dame is going to be good because I think the strength for Notre Dame on defense, I believe, is their secondary. And going against those receivers, it's going to be a hell of a matchup.
Oklahoma Texas is going to be interesting, too, because we know those two have now that Texas has kind of gotten its feet underneath itself with Tom Herman as a program, we know this is going to be,
Tom Herman versus Lincoln Riley.
They didn't want to. We can't call it the Red River Shootout anymore because, that involves guns or some crap like that. But this game is going to be, I'm going to offend people about guns. It's going to be a shootout because this game has with Jalen Hurts, on one side, and you look at what Texas is able to bring in terms of, just look at the LSU game.
I have an advantage to Texas because they have the LSU game under their belt.
Mm-hmm.
And LSU has a way better defense in my eyes than Oklahoma does. And Texas was able to score points on the LSU defense.
Right.
I think the Oklahoma defense is still the Oklahoma defense that we're used to. And people say, they look good on paper right now in their numbers. They haven't played anybody with the offense like they're going to play against Texas. They haven't played anybody yet.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're going to get tested this weekend against Sam Ehlinger, who I think is the most fit quarterback in college football with his size and things he could do in a run game.
We're talking about some of the biggest college football games of the week here with Harry Douglas in for you and discussing it. We'll take a quick peek at Georgia and Georgia Tech and in just a moment and what Clemson's going up against with Florida State. But first things first, and of course, now that it's back, the National Signing Bonus, it is going to be your chance right now to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our National Signing Bonus code word. The code word is...
Tattoo. The plane. Tattoo. T-A-T-T-O-O. Tattoo to 72881. Not just tat. I think you got to spell the whole thing out, okay? T-A-T-T-O-O. For those of you who don't know how to spell tattoo, to 72881. Again, tattoo to 72881. Message data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. Complete rules, 99thegame.com/rules. Tattoo to 72881. Hopefully you win $1,000 in the national signing bonus. The word of the hour is tattoo. Now, will Georgia tattoo South Carolina? They may. Georgia 24-point favorites at home in that 12:30 start. South Carolina, you know, I keep wondering if it's going to happen, Harry, for Will Muschamp there. I mean, you're in a state where the other team, the land-grant school, Northia, yeah, is just killing it. You're the state school. You're the big school, in theory. It ain't happening.
Well, he got Deion's son to go there.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just see if he can keep recruiting.
Which one? I mean, I lose track of all those centers.
Is it shot?
I forget which one.
I can't remember either.
You know, I mean, he's a guy.
I just know he's a big corner.
Had great players, obviously. Yeah. But is he going to be able to – will Will Muschamp ever get South Carolina to a point where, you know, they're going to have a – you know, that year where they can win the East?
Yeah, when you get a quarterback.
Yeah. Well, Bentley's not bad, but, I mean
– when you get a quarterback to put you over the hump.
Right. Georgia Tech, heavy underdogs going on the road against Duke. We'll see what happens with the Texters. You know, at some point – at this point, you just want to see growth in the program, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And then Clemson at home against Florida State. Now, there's been a lot of debate about Trevor Lawrence and his shoulder. And Dabo Swinney got a little – he injured his shoulder against A&M, bruised his shoulder. And Dabo got a little mad at the reporters for the constant talk about Trevor's shoulder. And this is what he said.
No, I'm not confirming any of that. And I don't want anybody texting me anymore. I had a media guy text me the other night about, you know, that's private information. That's private information. If I want anybody to know our medical stuff, I'll tell you. We'll put it on the injury report, you know, but, you know, people texted me on my phone to ask me information that's not public, information that I wouldn't put out unless it was something that needed to be put out. That's bad business. That's not how we do things. There's nothing wrong with Trevor, and I don't like people trying to create drama. There's no drama on this team, so what do people do? They want to create drama. It's the most unbelievable thing. There's no drama. Ain't nothing wrong with Trevor. Nothing. If we did an MRI or we didn't, that ain't nobody's business. We do MRIs all the time.
Yeah, and he's a little defensive there. I mean, I get it. But at the same time, if you're going to embrace gambling, you know, college football is going to have to take a long, hard look at whether or not they need to do injury reports like the NFL and fine people for not being upfront about it. Because if you're going to want to make money off this gambling thing, Dabo, it's a brave new world.
Well, you're going to have to do it. To your point, John, bottom line, because think about all the money people could be losing because they don't know an injury report, things of that sort. So injury reports really help out guys when they're betting in the NFL, NBA also. So hopefully they get it together.
Speaking of injuries, we'll talk about those next with Will Carroll. He'll bring us up to speed on players like Freddie Freeman in the offseason, Jonathan Cyprian, Drew Brees, and Matt Bosher. Our Rocket Jock Celebrity Bully Tournament is Wednesday the 23rd. Benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation and the vets. Stars and Strikes Sandy Springs. Go to 929thegame.com to our events page. Come bowl with us because we're going to have a lot of celebrities there. Hugh's going to have a team. I'm going to have a team. Dukes and Bell have teams. It's Wednesday the 23rd. Go to 929thegame.com and check it out on menu under events. The Rocket Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament is going to be a lot of fun on Wednesday the 23rd, and we hope you come with us. Again, Will Carroll on the very latest on Breeze, Abasher, and Freeman and more next. On the morning show with John and Harry Douglas on Sports Radio 99 The Game after a CBS Sports Minute. Morning show with John and Hugh. Harry Douglas in for Hugh today. Therapy sessions all day long, about 10 to nothing. We also talk, of course, about a big football weekend ahead because we can't lose sight of the fact that it's going to be a big football weekend. And one of the things we like to do on Thursdays, check in on the latest on injuries to get an update from Will Carroll, who is our injury expert, brand manager for Modus Global, and columnist for BetQL, and he joins us in the WadeFord.com hotline. Will, I don't imagine you have anything for injured pride, do you?
No, but, I mean, if you're talking about Braves fans, they should feel really, really good. Not great about yesterday, but great about what's coming forward. You know, this Braves team is so young, so talented, so good. And yet, when you take a look, you see so many ways this team can get better. There's more young players coming. You know, Acuna's going to get better and better. They can plug in a couple pitchers here and there, and it's actually a good year for free agency if they decide to spin. So Braves fans should start pulling the wait till next year thing, because next year is going to be good.
Will, with Freddie Freeman after this season, do you expect him to surgically get those bone spurs taken care of in the offseason?
Yeah, I do. You know, a lot of players have played with spurs or chips or something, and they just try to get through the season. It's the same way in the NFL. You know, the day after the season ends, there's like a line of them out the surgeon's door to get their knees cleaned out, their ankles cleaned out. This isn't something that's going to affect him. You know, bone spurs are one of the easiest things to do. You stick a scope in there, you grind it down, you pull it out. There's really almost nothing to it. With bone chips, you just got to go in there and find them. I had a surgeon compare it to playing Operation. You're trying not to light the guy's nose up. So this is something that he'll go in and get it cleaned up and never think about it again.
Will Carroll, brand manager from Otis Global, talking about some injuries. Let's move to the Falcons. And, yes, the Falcons are playing a team named the Cardinals, who used to be, by the way, the St. Louis Cardinals.
Don't you say it, Ricky!
Now, of course, they're the Arizona Cardinals. David Johnson, star running back of the football Cardinals. He got a bad back. Any chance he doesn't play this week?
No, he's probably going to play. This is, you know, David Johnson's got every ability except durability. So this is one you've got to worry about. He's going to play, but is he going to play effectively? I almost like it when a guy's out. Then you can adjust your bets, you can adjust your fantasy team. When a guy has an injury and thinks he can go, and you know, if he takes a hit, it knocks him out. He gets knocked out all the time, so I'm definitely downgrading him. I think the Falcons get a win this week, though. Cardinals are a team that's at least fun to watch. I always think if you're not going to be good, you ought to be entertaining, and they're at least that.
Sticking with the Falcons on the defensive side of ball, Jonathan Cyprien, he didn't appear to get injured in last week's game. He was hurt just after 1 week being with Atlanta. What is the news there? What do you think about that?
Yeah, it looks like some sort of midfoot injury. We're not sure whether it's a break or a sprain. I'm guessing it's a sprain because it's serious enough that it's taken him out. And they only brought him in for depth after the devastating injury to Keanu Neal. So this is one where depth is an issue. They're going to have to go out and get another guy basically off the street or make another trade for somebody's backup in that case. So this one's tough. Maybe they go out and get Jalen Ramsey. I doubt that. But it's one of those situations where, once again, we do have to at least take a look at the problem. We've seen so many foot injuries. I mean, just this year we're looking at Cam Newton, who's missed several weeks with a similar injury. Why are we seeing this uptick in ankle and foot injuries? Going, you know, how many times have we dealt with the Jones fracture with Julio Jones? So this is a problem not just for the Falcons, not just for Cyprien, but for the NFL in general. We've got so many of these foot and ankle injuries. I think they've really got to take a hard look at it. One of the commonalities is turf. We've seen all those problems we've had in Indianapolis. Another new, well-done turf field, but I think it's just gotten too good. You know, the turf is soft and sticky. The shoes are light and sticky. Something's got to give. The only thing that hasn't evolved is the human foot, and unfortunately, it seems to be the weak link in this chain.
Talking with Will Carroll, he's our injury expert, as we discuss some of the injuries. You brought up Cam Newton. He didn't travel to London for the Panthers, though the Panthers have been pretty good with Kyle Allen, a quarterback. Any update on how long you think Cam might be out?
Well, it's the fact that Kyle Allen has been good that's allowed them to do this. This is basically letting them coast. You know, what might have been a two-week rest is now turned into a month. I think we're getting closer to that, but I think everybody's comfortable with Kyle Allen. So they can make sure that thing's fully healed up, that he's ready to go. You know, he worked a lot on his cardio, so I don't think that's going to be a problem. He's been much more of a mentor than people expected. You know, a lot of people don't want to get Wally Pipped out there. I don't think that's a concern either. But certainly Kyle Allen's a guy. I remember watching him at A&M, and he was good there. But Cam Newton's better. That's the reason why he's number one. So they're going to let this thing fully heal. It might be another couple of weeks.
Future Hall of Famer Drew Brees, his team right now, Teddy Bridgewater, is doing the job for them down in New Orleans. Saw him throwing a smaller football this week. Does that show a possible earlier return for Drew Brees?
No. What it shows is that surgery worked. He had the thumb surgery to repair that UCL. It's not the same as in the elbow, but in the thumb, and they did what's called an internal brace. So he could theoretically, at least on a physical level, come back now. Does he have full grip strength? That's the part I don't know. And seeing him with the smaller football tells me maybe it's not there, or at least they don't want to test it. The worry would be that he would get hit again. That could happen, though it's obviously statistically unlikely. Or worse, that he would fall on it and have that pulled back. But again, that's statistically unlikely. So he's coming back on the short end of the scale. This is the same kind of surgery that we've seen a lot. Chris Paul had it and came back in a month. Mike Trout had it and came back in a month. So coming back in a month is almost to be expected. The difference, of course, is those guys don't have 300-pound men trying to drive them into the turf.
Right, exactly. Will Carroll's our injury expert. He is brand manager for Modus Global and a columnist for BetQL. I want to shift over to college football. Harry Douglas and I were talking about, USC being down to its third-string quarterback. Well, Florida's kind of in the same boat, too. They're going into the biggest game of the week against LSU. They certainly don't have Franks anymore, and I think he's done. Kyle Trask is a little dinged up with his knee, and that may put a lot of pressure on Emory Jones, their third stringer, to come in. Where do we see with Kyle Trask at the moment?
I don't think Trask is going to have any problem. You know, he's actually got the exact same injury as Kelly Bryant at Mizzou, formerly at Clemson. Both of them got hit on the outside of their knee, which happens, and the MCL kind of opens up. So they get a mild MCL sprain. You can go out there and play with a brace, no problem. As long as you have stability, as long as you have the stability with that brace, it's really not an issue. Remember, the MCL, which is the ligament on the inside of the knee, protects the knee when it gets hit from the outside and is driven in. That's when, even in a major injury, if you remember Adrian Peterson's horrible knee injury, he tore his ACL, MCL, and hurt his meniscus. They only repair the ACL. So Adrian Peterson's been playing all these years without an MCL. You've got secondary stabilizers. The muscles and tendons keep that there. So you can play with even a fairly severe MCL sprain as long as the pain doesn't bother you. So for Trask and for Kelly Bryant at Mizzou, they should be out there and really have no problems other than adjusting to the brace.
Willie, we always appreciate your getting us the insight. It is greatly appreciated. Thanks very much, my friend.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Will Carroll joining us here as we get ready for football this weekend. And, of course, as you get ready for football, that means read the promo, Harry.
Hey, Atlanta Falcons fans, tune in to 92.9 The Game 2 hours before every Falcons game for the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff. Harry Douglas, myself, Paul Crane, we will preview the Falcons' upcoming matchup. Countdown to Kickoff is brought to you by Bud Light, brewed for the Dirty Birds.
And where are you going to be this week?
J.R. Crickets in Kyle Park.
Main Street in Kyle Park. All right, so that'll be the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff. This hour of the program is brought to you by Renner's Warehouse as we discuss football and Will Carroll talking about Kyle Trask being in a brace. And I'm thinking, okay, he may be okay, but boy, you want to put a brace on and try and run away from that LSU defense?
I'm telling you right now, they're okay. If he's out there, they're going to heat him up, put that pressure on him. It's going to be very difficult for Trask in that ball game if he's not 100%.
Right, that's why I'm thinking, you said Emory Jones is going to have a big game for Florida if they're going to go down to LSU and win again here. So that'll be something certainly to keep your eyes on. Yeah, I can imagine those Weiner Swampers getting ready to get Drew Brees back. Boy, they're living high on the hog. Hey, listen, they get Brees back on a team that, 3 weeks ago when he went down, everybody looked at it. We said, hey, look at that.
I just don't see him losing before he even comes back, though.
They got to go to Saxonville this week, though. Teddy's got to run away from them Jaguars.
I don't think it's going to be a problem for him. They'll figure it out.
Morning menu questions this morning are interesting. If you missed it, we're going to go back over them because they involve including our therapy session on the Atlanta Braves. That'll be next with John and Harry Douglas this morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. There'll be a lot of therapy going on today. And, of course, tomorrow when we get into the program, we're going to be discussing with you, among other things, some of the changes the Braves are going to be making in the offseason. We'll get into that on our show tomorrow in depth. Who you're going to keep, who you're going to let go, and whatnot. But that'll be on tomorrow morning's show, and Harry Douglas will be back for you tomorrow morning. One of the interesting things that happened on the show this morning was our morning menu, which we do every morning in the 6 o'clock hour, was asking a couple of interesting questions, not the least of which was the Harry, the question at the end of the third question of morning menu about, what's the most, let me go back to the top to the menu question that that Abe had. What's the worst treat you've ever received while trick-or-treating? And people are saying the worst treat, we got like toothpaste. Really? Toothpaste? somebody out there, toothpaste is one of the answers.
I wouldn't be mad about getting toothpaste.
You wouldn't?
No.
Your option was candy. They gave you toothpaste. Shoot. I'd be mad.
I'd be mad.
Why?
because it's not candy.
Yeah, exactly. It's, I mean,
well, obviously, since you guys like candy so much, you need the toothpaste to brush your teeth. Candy eaters.
I've got the toothpaste. My mom buys me the toothpaste. You know what she don't buy me? King size Snicker bars. That's what she don't buy me.
How about this?
All right.
Packets of KFC barbecue sauce.
People actually give that
apparently,
for Halloween?
Apparently.
You don't go to KFC 2, maybe 3 times a week starting in August and collect packets just so you can hand them out? You don't do that?
Well, I'll tell you who
does. Am I the only one who does that?
I'll tell you who does collect them in my house. My wife does.
She ain't passing them out, though, is she?
She's hoarding them, keeping them for themselves. Yeah, exactly.
I have a wealthy, very wealthy cousin, extremely wealthy. And one year, he always likes to upstage people, so he was giving out $2 bills.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was giving. Every kid came through. I collect those. Yeah, he got a couple $1,000 worth of $2 bills. He's super white. He didn't care. He was giving out $2 bills.
I collect $2 bills.
Me too.
I was cleaning up my house a little bit yesterday. I have like 15 of them.
I only have 6 or 7, I believe.
I have 2 in the car still.
You know what Cordell Stewart had?
Well,
Cordell showed it to me. He had a $1,000 bill. I had never seen one.
I don't think that's real.
I don't think that's real.
Yeah, no, it's real.
No, I know. They don't mint them anymore.
It's real?
Yeah, it was real.
Used to be, yeah.
Yeah.
They used to do some weird things, nutty things with currency.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
It was a $1,000 bill. And I went, okay, that's real. And it was legit. I looked it up online. Yep, that's legit. It was legit. And he has it just, you know, all right, I'm not going to.
You heard Juvenile, bet $1,000, shoot $1,000.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing.
But it's the first question that Abe is back in here for, because this is his thing that he does every morning at 6. And we want you to go to our Twitter at 929TheGame and vote on this, or not vote on it, to weigh in on it on the morning menu questions if you don't see him in the morning. Where does the Braves Game 5 loss rank among Atlanta sports disappointments? And some of the responses here have me scratching my head, Abe, because we have people saying that it's second to 28-3. I don't know if these are younger fans who don't remember a little bit of history, but I'm not sure. Maybe it's top 10.
Don't get mad at them. Don't get mad at them because that's what I picked.
You know, I mean, I just don't think it.
You're wrong as well.
There's no wrong answer.
I'm not sure it makes the top 10.
You can't ask people questions and tell them that they're wrong.
Well, I ask questions every morning, and there are wrong answers. This being second is a wrong answer.
It's a wrong answer.
How?
Well, how?
Because there's so many other things.
It's a divisional series game.
It's what you view
as the worst game. It's a divisional series game.
But it's not, in your opinion, the
second worst. First of all, hold on. Is this even the worst baseball elimination game lost to the Cardinals?
No.
I mean, it's not even worse than the infield fly.
Right, it's not.
Were you expected to win?
Well, but the infield fly was worse than this.
Were you expected to win?
Yes. And
when you talk about Braves history, 91, Game 7 against the Twins.
Any World Series game loss is worse than a divisional
to the
series
Yankees.
Loss.
I mean, in the Braves panoply of things, this isn't even in the top 5.
Prisoner of the moment.
Forget about Atlanta.
There's certainly a recency bias. There's certainly a Braves bias here.
Prisoner of the moment.
How can you put this? I mean, look. Luckily, we didn't have anyone say it's the worst we've ever seen. I mean, obviously, 28-3 is categorically all on its own, right?
Right.
It's by itself.
And then we could argue about
number 2.
Followed
closely, apparently, by the loss of Freaknik, according to Harry Douglas.
Or 17-0, or the other Super Bowl, Eugene Robinson.
But he's smirking every time he brings it up.
No, I'm not smirking.
I know, he's smirking.
I'm still mad about that.
Me too.
Can you cover Vernon Davis once? I mean, once.
Well, we had literally—I'll say—in that game alone, man, we had about 5.
Not you.
Plays.
I'm not talking about Harry. I wouldn't say he didn't play defense.
Well,
I had a play in that
game too, though. We had about 5.
You did.
We had about 5 plays.
You
in that
did
game.
Have a play in that
well,
game.
Well, go ahead, get it off your chest. Since we're here right now, 92.9, get it off your chest, John. Because I know you want to get it off your chest. Get it off your chest.
Yeah. Okay. You got me.
And it's all about delivery. It better be done correctly.
I'm just trying to think here. You know, but we've had 2 Super Bowls. We've had that NFC Championship game. We've had 91, 96, Orin said pitching to Bonds in 02.
But I'm so disappointed in you and Abe because neither one of y'all are saying Freaknik. Like,
sports event.
I need the listeners.
Harry, not a sports event. Come on now.
It is a sporting event.
It's not a sporting event.
In my
it's a cultural
eyes, it
event.
It's a sporting
it's
event.
It's a lovely
also.
Cultural event, but it's not a sporting event. It's not a sporting event.
I'm going to say it again. Freaknik.
And besides, for me personally, of course,
damn it.
The news conference where we lost the Atlanta Flames was soul crushing to me because I was a huge Atlanta Flames
Look
fan.
Look me in my eyes. Freaknik.
No, Atlanta Flames moving to Calgary.
Abe, did you get to experience
Or Thrashers if you're Thrashers? I was more of a Flames fan than a Thrashers fan. But if you were a Thrashers moving to Winnipeg.
You know what?
Did y'all two get to experience Freaknik? That's what that's the question I have right now for
you.
Y'all.
Know what's a huge
yes or no?
I'm probably going to go on the side of no.
Sort of, kinda.
See,
that's what y'all don't understand. Because when I was working at CNN,
I had to kind of wind my way through, you know, to leave work. That's as close to Freaknik as I got.
let me ask you this, guys.
It was going on.
Did you get to see things?
Well, yeah. I mean,
in a kind of windy uphill version of this.
Mm-hmm.
Is getting rid of Hall of Famer Brett Favre among this disappointment
discussion? No. You have to understand.
Because you needed to change the scenery and all that stuff.
No. Not only would he be, as Oren said, he'd be dead. You just have to put yourself into the time frame there. We thought Brett Favre was, forget that he was out of control in Buckhead, but standing in Swanee, Brett Favre was out of control as a player. I mean, it was just
so
like,
he wasn't out of control in Green Bay?
Yeah, no, he was his first 2 years as a player. Remember, and he's in Milwaukee County Stadium flipping over people and throwing passes over his head and everything. He was out of control. It wasn't until they settled him down that he became the player he was.
So he got settled down?
As a player. As a player, he was out of control. We're not talking about outside
drinking
and not running the streets. We're talking about as a player. He was out of control as a player in the 1 year he was here, the one season.
But imagine
if Brett Favre
was here.
Oh, I would have changed the dynamic of the whole. But, or either that or he would have died. I mean, Green Bay was the perfect place for him to go.
What in the hell? He would have what?
Boy, that took a turn real quick.
He was Buckhead Brett, dude.
That's the old Buckhead, too.
Yeah, that was the old Buckhead. That was rolling.
You see on this street now, we see all these high rises.
Yeah, no, we were rolling.
It wasn't high rises like this back then.
Buckhead Beach and Carlos McGee's.
You know, I came to a realization while I was talking outside, because I have apparently accepted the loss and the end of the Braves season a lot better than almost everyone in this building, probably everyone else in the city. I was over it by the fourth inning, like completely over it. Like, season's over, okay, let's move on. Like, I was doing household chores. I was walking the dog. I didn't even put the game on my phone. Like, I was over it. I never bought into this team winning it all this year. Never bought into the team of destiny.
Oh, you say that now.
No. I said it before. Never bought into kicking the door in.
See, I like your honesty.
They were ahead of where they should have been. I get that. And they may never get where we want them to be. That's part of sports is disappointments. But
see, I thought
only one team wins it every year. 30 teams enter thinking they're winning. One team ends up being that squad.
I thought they had a chance of making the World Series.
Thought they had a chance. I thought things had to go right.
I thought pitching was going to hold them back from winning the World Series.
There were just a lot of things. I never bought – like, so many people here I felt bought into this team of destiny thing, and they were going to win. And certainly you had that big comeback in Game 3, and that was it. We're gonna win Game 4 and go on and beat the Nationals or the Dodgers. Show on, you know, come on, Yankees, let's go. No, I didn't. I wasn't buying into that.
Yeah, Chattahoochee Raft Race is a greater loss than Freaknik, according to somebody. The Raft Race was a party.
According to who?
Well, just one of the texters said Chattahoochee Raft Race greater loss than Freaknik. I don't know whether that's true.
They must have never been the Freaknik.
I'll say this:
the Chattahoochee Raft Race was a drunken party.
Y'all must not
have
been the Freaknik.
Oh, man.
At least the Raft Race was a sporting event.
I'm just going to look at you with an angry stare.
How many people did the Freaknik Regatta hold?
Well, about 20,000. If not more.
All right. Eddie, Randy, chomping at the bit to get into all this mess and their thoughts about what the 10-run rule game last night on Sports Radio 90 during the game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.